Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Daf Lamed Beis. We begin the new Perek, the new Mishnah, Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, five lines off the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaPesulin, all those individuals who typically are not allowed to engage in Hakrova of a Karbon. For instance, you have a non-Kayin, you have a woman, you have an Eved, you have a Tamei. But for Shechita, they're allowed, they're authorized to do Shechita. Anybody can do Shechita. Kol HaPesulin Sheshachtu, so all those individuals who are unqualified for Hakrova in general, who proceeded and Shechted the Karbon. Shechita Asan Ksherev. The Shechita is perfectly valid. Now, why does the Mishnah sound like it's B'di'evet, reluctantly kasher, and not L'chatchila, that it's recommended? We'll see in the Gemara. In any case, their Shechita is valid, and the Mishnah explains why. Sha'ashchita, because you're meant to know that the act of Shechita is kasher, is acceptable, regardless of who does it. V'zorim, non-koyhanim, uv'nashim, women, uv'avadim, slaves, uv'tzmeim, even those who are impure. Even if the shechita pertained to a carbon of the highest degree, highest level, ubavan provided, you have to ensure that the tamei fellow, after he does the shechita, will not touch the flesh of the carbon and make it tamei. So by extension, the fact that they're authorized to do shechita, hein poislim machshava. They should have an invalid thought of, you know, shelo lishma, chutz lazman, pigel, right? They will invalidate the karbon because since they're authorized to be involved in the shechita, their thought process impacts the karbon as well. Continues the Mishnah. However, that's limited to the shechita. But step two, which is the kabbalah sadan, the collection of the blood in the vessel, for that, they're unqualified, in which case, v'chulan, all these individuals, shekiblu es hadam, perhaps they did proceed to the second stage, a new Kabbalah, but they did it with a deficient thought. Chuslas manoi, chuslam kaimai, planning on processing the carbon at the wrong time, the wrong place. Does it adversely impact the carbon? The answer is no, because they have no business doing this ma'asa Kabbalah. So it's not impactful. And in fact, if you can find more blood back in the carbon, if you can find more dam hanefesh, primary life force blood, then redo it. Let a qualified kohen go back, recollect the blood, and proceed from there. Continues the mission. Let's say it was done properly. Kibel hakosher, a qualified kohen, collected the blood. But not an apostle, for some reason, he handed it to a fellow standing next to him who happened not to be a kosher. Does it invalidate the process? No. Yachso, the kosher, let him give it back to the kosher and proceed from there. Another example of this halacha is kipel b'yaminoi. Suppose he did Kabbalah with his right hand as per requirement. V'nasan l'smaylo. Then passed the container to his left hand. No harm was done. Yachso l'mino, just give it back. Back to the right hand, and proceed from there. Third example of this halacha, and the Gemara will explain why we need three examples of the same halacha. Kibul l'kodesh, he did the Kabbalah with a proper kli sharis, v'nasan kli chal, then pour the blood into a mundane kli. Just restore it, yachzer l'kli kodesh, pour it back to the kli kodesh, and proceed from there. Nishpach b'nakli ala ritzba v'asafai, suppose he did the Kabbalah in a kli, and then the blood spilled out of the kli onto the floor. Since it was already niskabel and a kli, v'asafis, and now you just collected it off the floor, it is kosher to proceed. However, had it not have been in a kli, just went straight from the animal to the floor, then it would be possible. But in this case, had it already entered the kli, the kabbalah had already been accomplished, though it spilled out, recollected, back into the kli and proceed. Now we go back to the unqualified individuals, the psulim, who actually proceeded and did zrika as well. Nos noi. He placed the blood of the korban al gabi hakevesh. Instead of putting it on the actual mizbeach, he placed it on the ramp. Or on the side of the mizbeach, on the wall, but not above the base, the foundation of the mizbeach. Shalikin el yisoy. So all these are improperly located. He placed blood, which was meant to be on the lower portion of the mizbeach, he placed it lamalon, on the upper portion, or the opposite. The blood which is meant to be on top, he placed lamata on bottom. Or he switched the mizbeachs. The blood which is meant to be on the internal mizbeach and the heichel, he placed bachutz on the external mizbeach and the azara. Or vice versa. The one outside, bifnei, he placed inside. In all these situations, no harm was done. Rashi explains, one of two ways. Either we say that since it was in the wrong place, so the zrika wasn't really accomplished, and it could be redone. Another explanation would be that since this one's done by a person who was not meant to do zrika, period, he's a apostle. So that's what we say, Mish Dama Nefesh. If the kohen can now go and find some more blood back in the animal, just go back, get more blood, and redo the process. Yachzer HaKosher. Yachzer HaKosher V'Kabel. Let the kosher fellow go ahead and be Makabel more blood, and accomplish a proper zrika. Now, as we noted, the Mishnah began by telling us that even a apostle can do shechita, but it sounds like it's reluctantly. Shachtu. If they did the shechita, it works. In, yeah. Diavad in, but diavad it works. L'chatchil, it sounds like, initially, loy, you shouldn't be doing the shechita. What's wrong? It would seem that all these individuals are perfectly accepted, perfectly fine, perfectly authorized for shechita. In fact, we have a braisa which says that v'shachat, right? The pasuk says he should do shechita on the carbon. Shechita b'zar k'sher, even a non-kohen can do shechita, no problem. Why? Shechita k'sher, shechita perfectly acceptable, regardless of who does it. B'zarim, a regular Israel can do it. Uvanashim, avadim, b'tmei, afil gadshei gadsh. Oh yeah, now the kohen. Perhaps it needs to be a kohen. Amr's the answer is like this: Ichma'im bas, where are you coming from? Why would you suggest a kohen is required for shechita? Well, look, the pasuk says only kohanim are involved in karbanos. Mechal shenemar, by inference of the pasuk which says ve'atu ubanecha itcha tishmu zkenaschem chodvar mizbeach, you and your sons, the kohanim, the Aron HaKohen and his sons, you guard the process involving karbanos and the mizbeach. So perhaps it covers shechita as well, which is unique to kohanim. Yochel, perhaps apa shechita, even shechita is their domain only. Tam leimar, comes the pasuk and says no. V'shachat es b'nam bakar lefnei Hashem. So he did shechita, and then only then does it mention anything about a kohen going forward, starting from Kabbalah onward. V'kribu b'ne'arin kohanim sadam v'zorku sadam. We learn from him, Mikabbalah ve'elach, only starting from Kabbalah onward, mitzvah kohuna is incumbent upon the kohanim to do. Limei, this teaches us, al ha-shechita sh'ksheira b'chol adam, that shechita which precedes Kabbalah is perfectly acceptable regardless. Perfectly acceptable regardless of who does it. So it's l'hatchila, it's perfectly fine. Why does the Mishnah sound like we're not going to recommend it? The answer is like this. You're right, who adin? Truthfully, Azar, an Isha, no problem, do Shechita. But there is one fellow who should not really be doing Shechita L'chatchila, for practical reasons. Not because there's something deficient about his Shechita, but if he's a Tamei and he lingers around, he might inevitably touch the carbon and make a Tamei. But you see, one individual on the list is a Tamei. So, in his case, really, it's not really preferred for him to do it. Why? Zero concern, Shema Yigu B'Bas, he might touch the bus or after the Shechita. Now, all the Rashi explains that regarding the Shechita itself, we're safe because he's going to use some sort of utensil which is not really susceptible to Tuma, a Kana, he'll use a reed maybe. So, the Tuma, the Shechita itself, we can get by. But once he shechts the animal, now it's susceptible to tum, he might touch it. So because the Tomei shouldn't be there, Tana Sheshechta, that's why the Mishnah uses this type of Lashon, which sounds like the whole thing is inevitable, the whole thing is just, the whole thing is just, B'di'eved. And that's because of the Tomei. But otherwise, Shechita is perfectly acceptable, L'chatchila, by Einan Kohen. Asks the Gemara, V'tamei di'eved shaper tamei? You mean to say, that B'di'eved, even a tummy is okay, it's not l'chatchila, but if he does, it's okay. But I mean, we have a kasha from a b'raisa. The pasuk says, v'samach yodei al roish ha'ila. So the owner is meant to lean himself on the animal and confess. The pasuk also says, right next to it, v'shachat es ben habakar v'nei Hashem. The one pasuk apart. So we connect the act of smicha to the act of shchit. Make a hekesh, a parallel. Ma smicha b'tohar, just like smicha must be accomplished by people who are tohar. How do we know that? More later we'll explain, because it has to be done right, close proximity to the shechita, immediately before the shechita, without any lapse of time. And shechita has to be, the animal has to be inside. So apparently, the person doing smicha must also be inside the azara. Apparently, has to be tohar. So we learn, just like smicha needs to be done by a fellow who's tohar, likewise shechita must be done by a fellow who's tohar. You can't be standing outside the Beis HaMikdash, this long knife, and apparently it doesn't work, even b'di'eved. The answer is midrabanan. Although we had a pasuk, but it's only an asmachta, it's like a hint, but midrabanan, he shouldn't be doing it because of our concern about touching the basar, but in our Torah it's okay. Asks the Gemara, okay, let's just reanalyze this braisa, connecting shechita to smicha, just like smicha must be done by a tohar, likewise, how do we know smicha needs to be a tohar? Maishno smicha, why are you assuming that the smicha must be done by a person who's tohar? Because it has to be done in the azara, the chsiv lefnei Hashem, because it says that the smicha is lefnei Hashem, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, shechita nam yo chsiv lefnei Hashem, the same lashon is applied to shechita as well. So why are we assuming that smicha requires a tohar and not shechita? Well, avshad avid sakan ruchav shachit. Although the animal has to be b'nei Hashem, but the person doing the shechita doesn't have to be b'nei Hashem, so you can take this long knife and shecht from the outside. So it's not sure that the shechit has to be b'nei Hashem. Well, smicha nami avshad ma'ayl yodei v'samech. The same could be said about smicha. Stand outside and lean your hands in. And do smicha kasavra, because this shita holds bia b'miksa shmo bia. Partial entry, even extending your hand into the Beis HaMikdash, is considered entering and is forbidden. So clearly, smicha must be performed by heitohar in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what triggered the parallel, just like samach needs to be by heitohar, shachad as well, etc. Rav Chisda masni ifcha. Rav Chisda had a different version of this braisa, starting the other way around. V'samach v'shachat, the pasuk states smicha next to shechita to connect it to. The starting point is shechita. Ma shechita b'tohern, af smicha b'tohern. Just like shechita must be performed by a tohar, so according to this shechita, it's minat Torah, not just midrabanan because of our concerns, minat Torah, it must be by a tohar. He disagrees with our Mishnah. Af smicha b'tohern, likewise, smicha must be done by a tohar. Ask the Gemara, why are we assuming shechita must be performed by a tohar? Ma'ishna shechita the sevuf nei Hashem, because the shechita must be done nei Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, where only a tohar can enter. Well, smicha namik sevuf nei Hashem, the same sevuf nei Hashem is said by smicha as well. So why are we more sure about shechita than smicha? The answer is efshad ma'al yodav v'shav v'samich. Smicha, no problem. I can stand outside and extend my hands inside and do smicha. Well, shechita nami, same with shechita. Efshad the avid kain sakana ruch v'shachet. He can perform shechita in that manner as well. Stand outside, get this really super long knife and do shechita. Answer is hamani. The author of this braisa is Shimon HaTimni, who holds that you can't do that. The sanya. He says you have to actually stand inside when you do shechita. V'shachet es ben amok lefnei Hashem. So we learned that the animal has to be lefnei Hashem in the Azara, but not the v'loya shechet, lefnei Hashem, but not the one doing the shechita. He can stand outside. Shimon HaTimni disagrees. I mean, he says, menayishu yadav shel shechet lefnei menayishchet. He says that the hands of the shechet have to be beyond the animal, meaning more inside than the animal. In other words, he has to be in the Azara as well. He learns that not only is the animal inside, but the Shechet as well. Shechet as bin Abakar. The one who's doing the Shechita on the animal has to be Lifnei Hashem, Yilifnei Hashem. So Shechita is a given. And by extension, Smicha must be done by a Torah as well. Okay, so basically we have the Mishnah. Generally, a Pasul can do Shechita no problem, because only starting from Kabbalah onward must needs a Kohen involvement. But Shechita is kosher with Azar, Isha, Eved, Tomei. But the Eved works with Chatchila not, because he might end up touching the Basar after Shechita, according to the Brisa we just had, second version. In a Torah, Shechita must be done by a Tohar only. Okay, so we have this sort of back and forth here regarding the question of partial entry. Amar Ulam Rish Lakish, Tomei Shehichnis Yad Lifnim Laikin. He says, you can't just, a Tommy can't put his hands in the Azara. If he does so, he gets Malkus. It's almost like entering himself. Shenemar, B'chakodesh Leisika. Pasuk says, a person who's Tommy should not be touching carbon material, you know, meat from a carbon. And the Pasuk continues, nor should the person enter the Beis HaMikdash when he's impure. V'la Mikdash Leisavai. So we connect entering to touching. Makish Biel and Negiah, the Pasuk here connects entering the Mikdash to touching Kodesh material. Now, touching material typically involves only partial, you know, contact. Part of the guf touches his hand, his finger. So, Ma Negiah b'Mikdash Shmo Negiah, just like partial contact is considered contact, Af Biel b'Mikdash Shmo Biel, likewise, partial entry is called entry. Hence, Biel b'Mikdash Shmo Biel, partial entry is forbidden. And the Gemara is assuming that it carries the same consequence as full entry, right? Courage, liability, etc. If so, that triggers a question. Eisvei Rav Oishel Ula. He asked Ula a question. We have a Braisa, a Mitzayra. Okay, a person who was stricken with Tzaras. It's his eighth day of his, you know, purification process. He had gone to the mikveh already. He's almost done. He just needs to bring his karbanis. The thing is, a Torah requires that the Kohen place the blood of the carbon on his earlobe, on his thumb, on his large toe. Problem is, he can't enter. The carbon is a process in the Azara. He can't enter the Azara as per yet, because he's still Mechusar Kippurim. He's lacking his carbonis. He needs that, you know, final step in his purification process to give him the green light to enter the Azara. So what do you do? Typically what they would do is, they would station him at the Shar Niknar, the eastern entry to the Azara. So the door itself was not Kodesh, had a status of Harabayis, which a Mechusar Kippurim can enter. Typically, doors were all Kodesh, except for the Shar Niknar, famous Shar Niknar, that was donated by Niknar with a miracle, with a, you know. It was left out so that the Mitzvah can stand there. So it's as close as you can get to the actual Azara, and he would stick his thumb, his earlobe, into the airspace of the Azara, and the Kohen would place the blood there. He couldn't bring the blood out, because then the blood would become pasul, disqualified, because it left the Azara domain. So the only way would be to have him stick part of his body in and receive the blood, etc. So that's the standard procedure for the Mitzvah. Problem is, this fellow here encountered an additional tumah, lo and behold, on the eighth day itself. Mitzvah Shechal Shmini, Shaloi Liyers Be'erev Pesach. So it's Erev Pesach. The nick of time, it's already his eighth day, he's about to come in, get his karbanis done, he'll be ready for the Seder, perfect. Problem is, Viral Keri Bebayayim, he experienced a Keri, an emission, he got Tommy, personal tumor, on that day. Vitova, certainly he ran to the mikveh quickly to address it, but he hadn't experienced nightfall, which is the completion of that purification process for the Keri. So he's technically a Tvul Yayim. Tvul Yayim also has to stay out of the Azara. Not only that, says Rashi, he has to stay out of the Harabayis. He can't even go to Shar Niknar. So what does he do? He's going to forfeit his opportunity to make the Erev Pesach, to make the Pesach for tonight. Amr Chacham said, listen, typically a Tvul Yayim keeps far away. This fellow is different, because he already had that special dispensation. Um, We'll see. Okay, let's see. Amar Chachamim, Ava b'she'en tful yom achar nichnas. Even though a standard tful yom will not even dare enter the Harabais, but he's different. Zeh nichnas. Him we let in. We let him into the Harabais, all the way to Shar Niknor, stand in the doorway, insert your lobe, your finger to get the blood, and this way you can be ready for the Seder. Why? Why are we allowing this? Zeh nichnas, why? Because, you know, on the scale we have the Isser of the Tfulyam entering the Harabais. On the other side of the equation we have the Karban Pesach. He's going to miss the opportunity to have his Karban Pesach brought today. So Mutav, it's preferred, it's better. In the scheme of things, it's better. Yavay Asay, Sheish Bekar, Zladi, Mitzvah Asay of Karban Pesach, which has that potential Karis in it. If one disregards, not in this case, because it's, you know, circumstantial, but typically a person would willingly disregard bringing Karban Pesach, he's liable to Karis. So we see how weighty, how valuable the Karban Pesach is. Let that factor override, Yitzchak, let it push away and override the Asay, this Asay, which commands us to keep the Tame out of Harabayas. Shame by Karis doesn't really have Karis to it. Rashi says, only if a Tame actually enters the Azara is there Karis, but walking around the Harabayas, it's usher, it's forbidden, but there's no Karis. So that's a lesser concern than missing the Karban Pesach. So we let him in. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he adds another point. He says, you should know Dvar Torah, min ha-Torah afilo asein bo. There isn't even an Isser of an Asay to allow the Tful Yom to enter the Harabayas. Shinamar, we have the Pasuk there, Vayamad Yeshavet Bekal Yudu Yishlam, he got up in Yishlam, Bebeis Hashem, Lefnei HaChatzar HaKadosh, before the new courtyard. What does that mean? New courtyard, new Beis HaMikdash. My HaChatzar HaKadosh, what does that mean? Rabbi Yechonan, Shechichu Bodvarim. They introduced a new concept regarding the Chatzar, regarding the Harabayas. And they said, V'amr, they said, Tful Yom, a fellow who's a Tful Yom, such as our fellow, Al Yikonos L'machlon Levi, don't let him into Machlon Leviya, which is where the Leviim camped around the Mishkan that was in the Midbar, and the Yerushalayim would be the parallel territory for the Machlon Leviya would be Harabayas. So it was merely a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore we suspended to allow him to get his Karban Pesach. End of Bryce. Now, back to the point in our Gemara. Ula was the one who said partial entry. So sticking in your finger or your foot is just as bad as fully entering the Azara. So questions like this. Fine, we're allowing the Tful Yom to roam around the Harabayas. That's good for the Harabayas part, but what about the fact that he's actually going to be inserting part of his body into the Azara, which is actual, you know, based on Migdash proper? Machna Shechina. That's Karis. For even partial entry, according to what you're saying. Be honest, if you're going to tell me Bia B'Mikdash, Bia partial entry is considered entry, Hekam Ayel Yadil Bahinais. So how could we allow this Mitzurah slash Tful Yom? Yeah, on account of the Mitzurah, it's allowed. Mitzurah, that's a standard procedure for Mitzurah. Torah allows it. Torah clearly allows it. There's no other way for him to process his Karbanis. But this fellow has another layer of Tumah upon him. He has the Tful Yom issue. How can he go put, you know, his limbs into the Beis HaMikdash? A Tamu enters Beis HaMikdash. There's Karis there. So basically, we have a Karis factor against the Karban Pesach Karis factor. So it's tit for tat. Who's to say which one is more important? Either both factors. On the one hand, entering the Azara while he's Tamu. On the other hand, foregoing the Karban Pesach opportunity. Either the Asay Sheish by Karisu. There are mitzvahs Asay which contain Karis. So why are we doing away one for the other? Amalei Ula responds, Mitunach, from your load, meaning you're bringing me a halacha regarding a mitzvah, right? The Torah clearly made special exception for the mitzvah. We know that. Shana mitzvah, mitzvah is very different. Hoyal v'hutar l'tzarate, since he got that green light, that special allowance for partial entry into the Azara, despite being a mitzvah and a mechusar kippurim. So once he got the green light, we wave him through. Notwithstanding the fact that he has another tumah issue upon him. Hutar l'kiruyo is his mutar, despite his tumas kari. So once he got that license, it clears the way. But typically, person has no business even doing bia b'mitzvahs. Amar Rav Yosef, Says Rabbi Yosef, let us take it a step further. Kasavar Ula. So basically, Ula will hold. Right? Once you got the license for one thing, you're allowed for everything. So an example is like this. Ruban Zavim. We know that if the community, or most of the community, is Tame Tumas Meis, on Erev Pesach, you can process the Karban even though they're Tame. But typically, it's not an allowance for personal Tumah, like let's say they're a Zav. They can't bring the Karban when they're Tame. So suppose Ruban Zav, most of the people were Tumas Zav, which doesn't allow for a Karban Pesach, but also Tumay Mesim Dayan. They attended a funeral, they became Tamei Meis, which would typically allow for bringing a Karban Betuma. So going to Ula, you can proceed. Hoyel Vuchu the Tumas, and since they're allowed to process the Karban Pesach, despite the Tumas Meis, Vuchu the Zavasan, that also gives them a license with respect to their Ziva, the Ziva component upon them. Once you get a license, once you get a green light, we wave you through. Only Abai said, by response to Rav Yosef, how could you compare the two? Midami, how do you compare? Tuma Ishtaroi, Ziva Ishtaroi. The second Tuma that arrived, yeah, that typically would be allowable, but the first Tuma, which, the Ziva which came first, that was the first one on them. Doesn't allow for exceptions. So how could the second Tumah sort of undo the effect of the first Tumah? Amar Leis Abaye continues and he says, you know what, let me make a suggestion. Perhaps, maybe you meant, Mar, the Master, Rebbe, maybe you meant the other way around. At first they became Tamei Meis, which gave them the green light. Once they got the green light, we waved them through regardless, despite the arrival of that new Tumah afterwards. Because once they got the license, they're clear. Ruban Tamei Mason. Initially they were Tamei Meis, which allows for bringing a carbon pass up a Tumah. But then Venasu Zav, then they encountered Tumah Zav. Here we say, Hoy Vahuchu, the Tumas, and Huchu Zavas, and since they got the license due to the first Tumah, they maintained the Heter despite the arrival of the Ziva. Amal Ian says, yeah, right on, you got it. That's what I meant. But still says the Gemara. Amal Leva, Katali Dami, still, how do you compare this scenario to the case of the Metzora that became to Ula's case? You can't compare. Because by the case of the Metzora had Teiruhu, clearly the Torah gave him a green light. It says on the Torah that he brings the Karbonis despite being a Metzora, and clearly he has to stick his hand. It involves inserting part of his body into the Azorah. So he got that special Heter, special dispensation. Strictly for the Metzora status. Metzora had Teiruhu. Hoil v'ishtri, ishtri. So certainly we can understand that once he got the special heter, he proceeds despite, having acquired another layer of tumah. Because once he got that heter, it's a license. So it's not revoked despite having additional concerns. But when a community becomes tameh, tumah dechuyehi, there's no dispensation. It's not like it's a license to do the carbon betumah. It's dechuyehi. We sort of look away. We push away the tumah concern. We suspend it. So you can certainly understand that if it's merely a dichui, laha itchai, laha lo itchai, we only push it away in as much as we're dealing with tumas meis. But laha, regarding tumas ziva, we can't push it away. We can't ignore it. If you get a green light, if you got a license, so you maintain it despite, additional. But it's not a license. We push it away. Hashem looks away. You can bring the carbon despite the tumah. It overrides the tumah concern. But if there's too much going on, you can't. Amalei Rav is Rav responding. Actually, I would say the other way around. Not Rav, just the opposite. If I'm a stavra, I think logic dictates just the opposite. Metzora hetiru. If anything, the metzora who gets a license, an actual green light to proceed, and insert his earlobes, etc. Lahoyishtara, you can certainly explain and understand that the heter applies strictly for the Metzora element that he has. Lahoyishtara, the license was not granted for other Tumah concerns. As opposed to the case of the community being tame, tuma dechuyi. Over there, it's suspended, it's pushed away, the tuma is ignored. So once you're ignoring it, once you're looking away, who cares if it's for this reason, for that reason? Mali chaduchi, whether it's looking away from one issue, mali shteituchi, or you're pushing away two issues. Once you're pushing it away and ignoring it, you can fully understand that the additional tumah would not make any difference. So if anything, Rabbi says this case is easier to understand than the case of the mitzvah. But in any case, it's going to chlal, apparently the Tavai Sfirlu, both, Abai and Rabbi hold, tumah tuchuyi b'tzibur, the whole discussion of Masechas Yuma, whether tumah is hutra b'tzibur or tuchuyi b'tzibur. Rashi here explains if it's hutra b'tzibur, you don't need the tzitz to override it, to atone for it, it's okay. Tumah tuchuyi requires the tzitz to assist it along and to, you know, make it work. The Gemara there speaks about, you know, let's say you have an alternative, you can find Kahan Dratar. So if it's a heter, so you don't have to look for Kahanim, but if it's a Chuya, so it's sort of like a reluctant type of heter, in which case if you have an alternative, you meant to, you know, seek one. But in any case, based on Abai Rava's discussion, it would seem like they hold clearly that Tuma is really the Chuya, but Sivra, you know, it's the, based on the factors that they're presenting and the terminology that they're employing. Okay, so just to recap today's daf, psula makasha for shechita, we learn from the pasuk, the only kabbalah ve'elech mitzvahs kuhuna, atame lechatchila, should not because of a gzera that he might touch, according to one shechita, even the diabetes pasul, ulez machadish, bia b'mitzvah shemabia, but we do have some exceptions, for instance, a mitzvahira, who the Torah clearly dictates and instructs to do this on his eighth day. And the chiddush of the Gemara was that even if he becomes a tful yom as well, once he's mutter for this, he's mutter for that. And by extension, the Gemara is suggesting that even by the tumah duchi b'tzibur, perhaps you can apply the same concept. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.